a question that you've probably already been asked, and if not yet, you will be, is this. Are you ready for Christmas? Usually when people ask that question, they're saying, have you bought all the presents? Have you got all the decorations up? Have you got all the food? And usually the answer is, no. Okay. I heard a couple of fellows on the radio the other day talking, and they were saying they have done their Christmas shopping, but they both like to wait until the last day to get some little things just to be out there with the crowd of people doing last-minute shopping. I can't think of a dumber thing in the world than that. I've expressed myself before about my shopping experiences, and I have a very low threshold for pain when it comes to shopping. To shop, just to say you went shopping with a big crowd of people, there's got to be something wrong with that. But really getting ready for Christmas is not so much whether you've got all the lights hung up and all the packages wrapped and all the decorations just right. There's something much more important than that. Because this is not a secular holiday for believers. Oh yes, we like to get off work and be with family and enjoy those things. And yes, the presents and the food and the decorations and the music. I love all those things, but that's not really what it's all about. And I want us to look at some Bible characters in the Christmas story, and both in Matthew and Luke, kind of go back and forth and see whether people were really prepared to meet the Lord. That's really what it means to think about, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the big question. And if you'll look at Luke chapter 2, I think the first individual that we can consider is the innkeeper who was unprepared for Jesus to come. Now, I know there are a lot of stories and plays made up where people do a lot of imagination about the innkeeper. Some people have even given him a name in the plays, and he's this Scrooge type, mean, money grubbing sort of person. None of that came from the Bible, okay? He could have been a really nice guy, and spoken by a man who played him in a previous cantata. He could have been a really nice person, and in fact, he did have something available. He made some preparations. But in chapter 2, verse 7 of Luke, it says, and she, speaking of Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because, and this is all we hear about the innkeeper, there was no room for them in the inn. Now, he probably was a pretty good businessman. I mean, after all, if I had made reservations in his hotel and was expecting to spend the night there, and he suddenly would tell me, no, you can't have this room. I'm going to give it to this other couple that just showed up on my doorstep. You know, I might be a little bothered by that as a customer. Okay, I don't know that we can blame him for not having a room just on the chance that the Messiah might be born in his inn that night. Okay, I don't think we could necessarily be too harsh with him. Maybe it wasn't even a him. Maybe it was a her. Okay, I don't know. All we know is there was not room. Somebody was not prepared for Jesus to come that night. And you know, I think there may be a lot of people who unknowingly are unprepared for Jesus. It's not that they necessarily have bad attitudes about it. But there are little children who've grown up looking forward to Santa Claus coming and know nothing about Jesus who actually did come. They've accepted the mythology and the magic and not understood the real story. That's tragic. You talk about child abuse. To deprive a child of the story of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the one who can provide salvation for his soul, that's child abuse, I think. Because it could result in eternal damnation in hell for those who have not heard. I think there'll be people, probably well-intentioned people, without being mean-spirited or hateful, who will be unprepared for Jesus out of ignorance. You know, the Bible does speak of the sin of ignorance. There were special offerings to be made for sins of ignorance. Now, God still considers those sins. But, my friends, the sins of presumption required greater judgment. But nevertheless, there'll be people who are not prepared just because they don't know they ought to prepare for Jesus. But then I think of Herod the king. He was unprepared. We go back to Matthew chapter 2 for his story. Matthew chapter 2. Notice we find of him in verse 3. When the wise men came to him and said, "Where is he that's born king of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east and come to worship him." Matthew chapter 2 verse 3. It says, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, all Israel or all Jerusalem with him." Now, this man was not a good man. The innkeeper may have been, we don't know, but Herod was not. He saw Jesus as a rival to his throne and his power and probably his money. And so he hypocritically was hostile. You look at verse 8. He sent the wise men to Bethlehem after the Jewish leaders looked in the scripture. By the way, if you want to find a good answer to a question, Bible's a good place to look. And they saw that Micah chapter 5 predicted that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem of Judah. And once God says it in the Bible, that settles it. The discussion's over. They said, "We know where he's going to be born. That's in Bethlehem of Judah." And so they sent the wise men there. And verse 8, Herod, sent them, the wise men, to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." I think we need in our minds to take that word worship and put it in quotes. Herod had no intention of worshiping Jesus Christ. He said, "You go find him and come back and tell me where he is so I can worship him also." But in Herod's thinking, that meant I can eliminate him. No rival to my throne is going to survive if I have anything to say about it. But he couldn't say that out loud. So he covered his hostility with hypocrisy. There are people today who are hypocritically hostile to the story of Jesus Christ. They may couch their opposition in other terminology, but deep down in their hearts, they're hostile to the gospel. They don't want to acknowledge the fact that they themselves are sinners in need of salvation. And so in their hostility and opposition, they may try to mask it some way to make it seem somehow acceptable to other people. But nevertheless, they're unprepared for Jesus to come. It's amazing that often those who are the most hostile to Christianity are religious people. And often those who are most opposed to the spreading of the gospel are those who call themselves Christians, even. Dr. Comfort told the story in chapel this week of a young man who attended a service where he preached. And this young man, I think he said he was 13 years of age, 12 or 13, something like that. And this young boy was very interested in the gospel. And he came forward and he was saved. And he went home and told his mother that he got saved at the revival service. And she said, "You're never going back to that Baptist church again. They don't talk about getting saved in the Methodist church." Now, there are some Methodist churches that probably do, but what an indictment on that one local church to say they don't talk about getting saved there. And why should religious people be hostile to the concept of souls being saved and having a home in heaven forever? But nevertheless, there are those, like Herod the king, who are unprepared for Jesus to come. They don't want him. They don't love him. They don't desire to honor him. They're hostile to the message. But in this same chapter, Matthew chapter 2, we see that the wise men were prepared. If you go down to verse 11, "When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." You see, they had prepared these gifts to give to Jesus long before they laid eyes on him. They may have traveled 500 or 600 miles by camel. It was not an easy journey, but they came prepared to give gifts to the Lord. They had the gold, they had the frankincense, they had the myrrh. They made preparation. You know, I think that these men obviously were sincere. They wanted to know the truth. And they, we would say, prepared their hearts to receive it. You know, at this time of year, each of us needs to prepare our hearts for Christmas. Oh, go ahead and vacuum the house. That's a good thing. Put up the decorations. That's nice. Have all that low-calorie food you're going to set on the table. Yeah, right. Have the presents, that's fine. Send out the cards. But prepare your heart to worship Jesus Christ. None of this would even happen if it were not for his birth. None of it would have legitimacy if he were not the head of every table, the honored guest in every Christmas party. You know, I was listening to a talk radio program the other day about office Christmas parties. And it was really pathetic what these people talked about being commonly practiced at office Christmas parties, particularly the ones they said at night. And this was an individual who had done some research on office Christmas parties. And it's really unspeakable the things that commonly go on in those settings. And I thought, Christmas party? People getting drunk and taking drugs and getting involved in immorality. And it's Christmas? But see, the wise men prepared their hearts. And we need to do that also. going back to Luke chapter 2, we find that the shepherds were prepared. Luke chapter 2. And notice with me, verse 15. After they had heard the message from the angel of the Lord and the hosts of heaven, this multitude of the heavenly host, verse 15 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They prepared themselves by saying, "Let us now go. We've got a great message. Let's go and see it, and let's make sure others hear about it." They were prepared. They were just common people, the shepherds, not wealthy people like the wise men were, just commoners, just laborers out on the hillside, doing their job, watching over the sheep. And they got this wonderful message and said, "This has priority." They didn't say, "Someday we're going to need to go into Bethlehem and check this out." They said, "Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Other things can be set aside. Other things can wait. Let's make this the priority of seeing the Lord. That's the kind of priorities we need to have at Christmas time. As we enjoy other things, let's not forget the priority. If we don't get all the presents wrapped, let's make sure we take time to honor the Lord. The wise men were prepared. The shepherds were prepared. And Joseph was unprepared at first, but then he got prepared. Go back with you, if you would, to Matthew, this time chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And notice verses 18 through 20. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." I want to call your attention to something we often overlook in this story. Verse 20, "But while he thought on these things." You see, when Joseph first heard that Mary was going to have a child, he thought, "I can't go through with a marriage. She's going to have a baby. I don't want to humiliate her publicly, and so I'll just have a little private putting away, divorcement ceremony." But while he thought on these things, you know, I think that we get so busy in this time of year, we don't just sit down and think about spiritual things. Oh, we may think about, where's my list of things I got to get done, you know. What is so-and-so going to give me? Because I've got to give him something worth just as much so we come out even in the end. By the way, there's no Bible to support that. We're supposed to help people that can't pay us back. But it seems like we just have this, if somebody spends so much on me, then I've got to spend that much on them. And the people that come out on that? The merchants, okay? The rest of us, we all come out even, you know. But the merchants have our money when it's all over with. But we seldom stop to just sit down and think about what this is all about. We let our kids think only about presents they're going to get. You know, one of the most memorable Christmases that we spent, my daughter's here tonight, when I was pastoring in Indiana, there was a family in our church that was a needy family, a single mother with several children. And we determined as a family to buy Christmas presents for those kids and for that family. And when we went over to that house and delivered those presents, that meant a whole lot more to our kids than what they were going to get for Christmas. But often we just don't think in those terms. We don't take time to think on spiritual things. I'm glad that Joseph stopped and thought and was willing to even risk public humiliation himself to obey the voice of the Lord and take Mary as his wife and take the responsibility of raising her son. I'm thankful that when he thought about it, he chose to make preparation. I think if we each would give proper thought to it, we'd see the importance of preparing our hearts to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would just like to challenge you tonight. Instead of just running 100 miles an hour in 9 different directions at the same time, and getting through frustration and all those things because something isn't bought, something isn't wrapped, something isn't done, why don't you prioritize things like the shepherds did, who said, let's now deal with this. Like Joseph, who once he reflected upon it, realized the importance of a welcome for Jesus Christ. I don't know how you need to apply that in your own life, but I would like to ask you again, are you ready for Christmas? Would you bow your heads, please, with me?